How's it going, Brucey?
Good, bud. Did you get all teed up?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What's that thing?
It's a salt gun to kill hornets in the trailer.
Oh.
A CO2 salt gun. I mean, this thing will take the paint off.
I've only got the old pump action. I got her in the cabin, but I leave it there and the salt gets all coagulated in there.
Oh my God, now Drunk Wood's diving into my gliders.
Focus up here, Brad. We're on the air.
Okay, we're good. Yeah.
Brad wrangled us up. Kenta Kamara. Is it Kumar or Kamara? I should know how to say that by now. He's a damn stud angler from Japan, and he made the opens look easy last year. Brad riled him up. We're going to have him on right away here.
Well, holy Christ, my thing's wrong still, Brucey. What? Come over here, Drunk Wood. It says Bard on there.
Oh, I did that. Oh,
yeah. I also set mine to Bard in tribute.
No, we can't do that. People gave me a hard time at the classic.
Well, you spelt your name wrong.
Why?
And it's only four letters. So, yeah, you're going to get
tripped. He'd have to kick you out.
Oh, my God, Brucey.
We got quit yelling in here. We're on it on the air, Brad. This is a professional show. We got Drunkwood Inky on the side. They're coming at us from Matt Robertson's trailer. Brad has assured proper internet connection this time. What do you think, bud?
I don't know. I mean, I hope we get through the night. It should be good.
Yeah.
I haven't really been doing much but scouting turkeys and recovering from the classic and getting ready for the Invitational on Kentucky, which starts practice in like a week from Monday.
And researching questions to ask Kenta and have a smooth podcast, right? Because the training wheels are coming off tonight, bud. It's all you.
I didn't do a lot of research, but I can probably wing it. I'm pretty good at winging things.
All right. Well, we'll get into that in a second. First, we got a shout out. Chris Johnston just won the No Scope Invitational, whatever they're calling it, the professional or the Touring Anglers Association, the $5,000 entry fee, no live scope, no pre-fish, no information, no 360 tournament. Good showing by the Canadian boys, Corey, Chris, Gussie, all held spots in the top 10. I don't have the list in front of me, and I obviously have a bias towards Canadians, but yeah, Emil Wagner got third, kind of shut some of the no live scopers up. Pretty cool to see. And our buddy and friend of the show, Brad's travel partner, my travel partner from last year, Adam Rasmussen, second place showing at the Classic. We haven't done a show since then. Pretty wild for a guy from the Opens to just win a tournament on Wheeler Lake and then almost win the Bassmaster Classic and right back to the Opens. So shout out to Raz and Justin Hamner on the win. That was a pretty awesome week.
Yeah, I mean, wow, it gives you hope, doesn't it? Like, have a good tournament and almost win the Classic. That's super impressive and kind of what everyone's shooting for. And God, he was so close. Bummer he didn't make it, but real awesome showing, a lot of publicity. And I mean, the Classic never lets you down. It's my second year going to him, and wow, it's impressive.
Yeah, nice scripted answer, Brad. You're going to have to loosen up a little bit for Kenta. I'm telling you, this bubblegum stuff you're giving me isn't going to cut it. The reason everyone wants to hang out with you off the podcast is because you're funny. You make good points. And here you beef it up to like a scripted answer.
Yeah. This is kind of on the air though. You know, you gotta be kind of proper, right?
No, let loose.
No?
Gussie was just on the Get the Net podcast and he called a bunch of guys crybabies for not fishing the no live scope derby. For not nutting up. And he's probably the best, you know, one of the best spoken elite high level anglers.
Yeah.
So he can be himself, you can.
Okay. I'm going to loosen up. I'm going to let it hang out.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Because the wheels are off tonight, bud. You're off my game. I haven't been sleeping. Kids been screaming.
Really?
It's a wild one. Yeah. Before we get Kenta in, got to remind you about this. Blue Storm PFDs. If you followed me at all in the Opens last year, you'll know that I was wearing like a 1996 Ski-Doo life jacket. I was not a believer in the inflatable PFDs. I just couldn't find one that was comfortable enough. They're always bunching up on my back and I hated them. Been running the Blue Storm this year. Can't believe I waited that long for an upgrade. Check out the link in the description below. Save yourself 15 points. Nice little promo code down there, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, I've been running Blue Storm the last couple of years and very comfortable, very safe. And yeah, I mean, you save a bunch of money ordering on the promo. Definitely time to get one. The ice is melting and time to get out fishing, especially in the North Country.
I'm going ice fishing this weekend.
Maybe no. I'll wear
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do a video wearing it. Don't fall in, though.
I'm not going to fall in. There's way too much ice still.
That's crazy, Brucey.
It sucks, bud. It's part of the North. What's the next plug? Got to get the plugs out of the way. It's easy. They're all along the top here.
Well, we got to give a big shout out to Omnia and the app, the fishing app. It's come in real handy. It's got a little sneak out there, and it's an app that basically shows you whatever you need to know on whatever body of water you're heading to. It has navionics, so 1 foot contour. It has, you know, water temperature, boat ramps. It has basically everything you want to know about a lake, and it's, you know, really nice. Sitting in the trailer, checking that out, seeing what the water temps are, where the clear water is, very helpful. And I believe you get a 7-day free trial period. It's right around $50 a year. Pretty good investment for what you're getting.
Yeah, I've been checking it lots up here, and it's just been white screen, just ice, no change.
Water. Well, it's accurate. It's accurate, Ben.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It's a pretty damn handy tool. Especially if you're hopping around all over the place, see water clarity, all the layers, everything like that. Powerhouse batteries, goes without saying. Everyone saw the showing at the Classic, Kyle and Raz, and the boys are running it. You know, it's there's a reason that someone like Milliken runs it. You know, you could pick any battery brand he wants, and that goes for a lot of people. And that little bit of extra performance and just peace of mind when you're fishing for a living or just trying not to ruin your weekend goes a long way. Check those out. They've got some in stock at Omnia. There's a link down below. And if you're up in Canada, we can get you some of those too at sports headquarters. What else we got here? Crush City. I don't even want to say anything because they don't. That's been the buzz around the Classic. The big joke is I don't care what shape it is or what color, as long as it's a Gizzard Shad freeloader. The boy, yeah. Those things are selling. I brought a couple packs down with me, and they're like currency in the Southland now. So if you haven't checked out Crush City yet, check it out. There's some Canada exclusive stuff too that might be worth a look. You can see that if you look north of the border on the line. And yeah, otherwise. Powertran jack plates. Talk about
Powertran. Always working hard for us. A lot of people don't know about them, but they build a real awesome electric jack plate that you can preset your, you know, running top speed or if you're getting out of shallow water. It's a really neat deal. Like, I didn't know how much everyone's used to running the little knobs on the side, and it took a little bit to get used to, but once you're used to it, man, that thing is slick.
She's heavy duty too. That
oh yeah,
is some thick material she's made of. If you sized it up, you know, beside like a industry standard jack plate, you'll see that it's made to last. You don't want to have that cracking when you crush a cypress tree or anything like that, or if you're all jacked up, you know, hit a rock or something. So little bit of peace of mind there. Check those out. Link in the description below. I think that's it, Brad. We're ready to send you to the wolves. I'm going to sign off of here. I'm going to dial up Kenta, and I'm just going to be your ginger ninja. I'm the producer tonight, bud.
No, I'm the talent director. You have to do all the talking.
I'll make you a deal. If you can run the podcast hosting platform, piece her together.
Wow. No, you said enough. You said enough. I'm in.
Okay. I'll text them, and it's all you. We'll see you on the other side.
You're not going to be on? Are you crazy? No,
I'm signing off. It's all you.
No way.
I told you twice today and then again just now.
Okay.
Just give me a signal. Give me a signal if you need me.
I need you. Thank you.
All right. Well, maybe I'll just stick around then. I won't say anything. No, I won't do that. I'm going to hop out. The training wheels are on.
Stick around. Come on, Brucey.
I'm still going to be here.
You're the co-host. You got to stick around. You're the brains in the operation.
Omnia Premium Pro gives you the confidence to eliminate dead water on thousands of lakes across the U.S. Exclusively on the Omnia app, use 10 unique data layers containing critical real-time mapping information to see water temperature, water clarity, contours, lake bed hardness, and important weather data all in one place. Matched with Omnia's loyalty credit program on all your tackle and gear needs, this is the only app you need in your arsenal for success on the water.
What's going on, Kenta?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Kenta, how's it going?
Not much.
Are you in the trip? Are you in the camper?
Yeah, I am. I'm on the way down to Florida. I don't even know where I'm at right now.
Did you have to pull over, or are you done driving for the night?
Just not driving for tonight. I got plenty of time until practice start.
Kenta, I got a similar camper to you, a four-wheel camper. Where do you park when you're driving? Do you stop at, like, the Love's Travel Station?
Yeah, Love's is the best one. That's where I'm at right now.
I was trying to navigate that. I couldn't quite figure out where to pull over.
Love's in the, I believe it's state of Georgia, so I got a pretty good signal here.
Nice.
Good deal.
You ever pull over at the Buc-ee's? I had me and Pat Renwick on the way to the...
Yeah, I have, but, you know, that place is so busy, you know. I just want to stay quieter.
Yeah, I lost Pat Renwick in a Buc-ee's on the way to Matt's wedding last weekend for like 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, he's like a little child. You got to keep him close, otherwise he's gone.
Right. Yeah, that's why, you know, Love's probably the best one to stay. And if you want to, you can pay like $60 to get an electric, but which I don't ever need it on my camper.
Nice. So, Austin said you're going to come stay with us up on Leech.
Oh, I didn't realize what he was talking about. You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Because, you know, we probably only have day and a half practicing on that one. If we do get in the same role, man. So I figured it'd be just easy to stay somebody's house. Or are you on a house over there, or is that where you live?
No, my parents have a cabin up there, like a family cabin that's been family forever. So
that'd be nice.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I mean, I might have to check out some of those sneak lures you got in your boat, probably.
I don't even know what officially they got in the Leech Lake. There might be a largemouth in it, or some smallmouth too.
There are a lot of walleyes.
Really?
A lot of walleyes, a lot of northerns, some bass, a few bass.
I never been there in my life, so I'm pretty excited on that one.
Yeah, that'll be a good time. You guys will probably be getting there super late, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, it don't matter if I can find a fish on the day and a half. I can't never find it. So,
oh, you'll find them just fine. I'm pretty sure it'll be a scope and derb.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I don't know about a Florida, but it's been dominated and this year because it's Bassmaster flipped over the schedule. So that makes a big difference, you know.
Yeah, it'll be a different. Are you looking forward to Florida, or you kind of liked it before?
I mean, I used to never like it, but you know, but it's even better to me to have a tournament in a postal spawn instead of the prey spawn because, you know, I always get my ass whipped in Florida, so.
Yeah, I feel you. I don't do very good in Florida either.
Yeah, that's just a different animal, so.
Yeah. Why the heck do you do all 9 opens? Isn't that just, like, crazy for you, or not, no?
No, not really. I mean, while I'm here in the United States, I ain't got nothing else to do, so just push all of them, just like everybody else is working. I still got enough day off and stuff like that, so.
So what do you do when you don't have a tournament? You're fishing on different lakes, or?
I mean, trying to get on the pre-fishing whenever I get time, but I figure, you know, what's even better was fish all all nine at the open and staying in the competition straight, you know, straight months and stuff like that, because that's where I can just stay on the right kind of mindset.
Yeah. Do you hate all the boats in the opens? Like, are you used to all the boats in the opens, or do you like when you get the room to breathe on the elites?
I mean, I like the boats way, you know, like in the elite, they're all good ones, you know.
Yeah.
But in the open, more numbers of boats. But obviously, to me, with my opinion, I think it's a less pressure than 100 boat in the elite.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. No kidding. Well, and the opens are good for you too, because you're a notorious retread Fred.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do that well in the last probably 8 tournament by myself. So, you know, I just trying to get back in confidence mode, you know. Because since last fall, I kind of quit catching because I trying to find something else than scoping, but I really can, but. I know it's going to – I mean, Open Japan, it's already kind of beat them up on that way. And, I mean, people still catch them on, but nobody fishes shallow anymore. What happened is they just start showing up in shallow fishing again. So it'll happen pretty soon.
Shallow's getting better again, you're saying?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm not saying better than used to, but, I mean, nobody fishes it.
Yeah, that's cool. You get kind of a glimpse into the future then of what's coming here.
Yeah, because about the time we got a live scope or all the kind of forward-facing sonar back in Japan, what happened is we already beat all that fish before even that thing's coming out. You know what I mean? It was way too late. So we all know fish was there with a side scan or 2Ds. And we already beat them up, so it didn't work like that here. Like this country, you know, it's already beat them up.
What do you think about that no live scope tournament that was just in Georgia?
I was kind of wanted to fish it, and, you know, several guys called me to do it. But honestly, you know, I've only been there just one day in my life. And they only gave us a 3-hour practice. And I'm like, well, I don't even know where the bug dock is at. So if I had been there with just a different tournament or whatever, you know, I probably would do it. Are they already over today or?
Yeah, Chris Johnston won.
Oh, yeah.
Sight fishing.
Sight fish, yep.
Yeah. He got an 8-pounder yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know they had an 8-pounder. I mean, that's an awesome place. I'm looking forward to fishing some tournament in Lanier. That's one of my favorite lakes now. I mean, I've only been there once, but it's not that easy, like, to just get the single bite because them fish is so beat them up. That was one of the hardest fish to bring with a forward-facing sonar.
Yeah, you got to get her out to, like, 130, 140 or further, hey?
Yeah, or, you know, like some kind of special bait, you know, to get them to eat it. So,
a live herring.
Yeah, and, you know, I know they have to fish it around the herring fish, but they're a little ahead of it. Because they're like, how well is probably 10 times easier than linear fish.
Do you have like a secret fish recipe like Taku or? Do you just borrow
his? No, really. I mean, I don't really fish in Japan anymore. So what I do is as soon as I get back home, I'm just going straight to the ocean fishing lures, look for something new.
Well, that's awesome. You're pretty influential with your lure designing. Are you working on anything special now or?
I mean, I do, like, I've been working on a ladder trap and buzz bait, pretty simple bait, you know, kind of general bait and a few of the plastic bait, but I'm, compared to some of the younger guys, I'm like old school guys, you know what I mean? I'm 42 years old and, you know, I'm not, you know, new guy anymore, so.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm about at retiring age and I'm just getting started. Gotta be
behind the eight ball.
45.
Oh, yeah. We're about the same range, so.
Yeah. Wow. I look a lot older. I'm a lot grayer than you.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Japanese blood goes.
You got to smoke more, Brad.
I got to smoke more.
You got to smoke more and you won't go gray.
Yeah.
Or maybe
you guys all smoking?
Once in a while. What? Maybe those Red Bulls are the secret. Maybe they keep the gray away.
Might be. I mean, I only drink that many in a tournament day. So right now I'm drinking water.
Oh, that's good. What's your favorite spice on the Red Bull, or what's your favorite kind?
I mean, I do start it up with a brew edition in the morning, just trying to get me enough sugar to just a kickstart. Yeah. And I'm going to stay with a sugar-free rest of the day. That's why I don't get too much sugar, you know what I mean?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep. Huh.
Who the heck has that motorcycle derby going on around him?
Yeah,
is that you, Brucey?
No.
That's me.
Are they four-wheelers or snowmobiles?
I don't even know. It's like, I think just a motorcycle. Somebody just drive around this fucking lot.
What baits did you design, Kenta? That, like, I don't know anything about.
I got your several baits for the depths, and also I used to work with Buckley Japan.
Yeah.
Which is, they don't sell every single one of them all in the United States because, you know, I kind of design a unique way.
Right.
And also, I'm working with a Mega Bass now for soft plastic.
Were you part of the force behind the Sakamata shot?
Yeah, not really. I mean, that's the guy who owns the Dabs design it. And I mean, we didn't even think that's going to work that good here in America. Which, I mean, since Koya said about Sakamata, they said everybody called me in and asked me for Sakamata. And every time I get an ask, I told them, hey, trust me, I've been selling this thing for 15 years. Oh, I would say 12 years, and never even worked like that. So it's not just weight wise, trust me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah. Collier was setting a certified forward. His standard was 1/8 ounce weight. And I knew the fish was swimming around. So I'm like, how the heck is it even possible to drop the front of a fish in certified forward water was 1/8 ounce? The Kyle Patrick was sitting right next to him. He thought Kelly was walking on the bottom because he fished so slow.
He was using an 1/8 ounce?
1/8, yep. And 3/16, he said. That was 35 foot of water. And the fish was swimming around pretty fast.
So he's doing all the opens too this year.
No, he said he was going to, but he skipped the Santee, so now I'm only one look for it.
Yeah. Well, he was at the St. Lawrence Open last year.
Yeah.
And he was staying at the same hotel that like me and Danny and Corey Johnson were at.
Yeah.
And I came back one night and half the parking lot of the hotel was covered off with pylons. And he had laid them all out and put his truck and boat on the other side. So he had a big full turnaround.
Uh-huh.
So I took all the pylons and I threw them in the bush.
You bully, Brucey. Yeah.
Well, he's not getting Hollywood treatment. He opens.
Yeah, he wants everything perfect, you know. That's just a little different, you know.
He wants everyone good and far away from him.
Yeah, because like his extension cord was just a perfect spot every day. So yeah, I know how you feel. I want to pull in all the extension cords and straight it up, but you want to be perfect. So
you're the only one doing all nine again. You finished fifth right?
Yeah, I finished last year and the year before.
The year before you finished fifth too?
Yeah, but which didn't do nothing really. Just all it is just trying to stay sharp, and also I want to compete with some younger guys, you know.
Yeah, that's, you want to see that's another. Coming.
Yeah, you know, there ain't no way you can complain about forward facing solo now because all the guy in the open is even better than some of the elite guy. You know what I mean? And that's definitely a good place to learn it. You know what's coming in the year after, because we're gonna have to compete with that guys in the elite again.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good call.
But I don't know why the people think that, you know, some of the guys win it or do so good in the first event, and everybody can do it with a live score, but there ain't no way. Then I seen every single one of them, of the new rookies in the pre-fishing in the months ago, every single one of them. So I would say they are working hard.
Yeah. And we all know that because we're, you know, we're in the opens and watching it.
You know how them guys are. I mean, they're like JT Tompkins. He's been there for probably almost all months over the winter. Tyler Williams too. I mean, yeah. He's there. I was asking Tyler, hey, did you even back in the home in the Christmas time? And I don't think he did either.
No.
So he's been on the load of all year long.
I just talked to Kyle Patrick yesterday, and he was at JT Tompkins' house. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I've been here for a few days. I said, well, where's JT? He's like, oh, they're all, the whole crew's all pre-practicing on Lake Murray already. He's like, they won't be home.
Yeah. I mean, he shows me that how many waypoint in the Toledo band. I mean, I told him, yeah, how do you even remember all this waypoint? He got like 2,000 waypoint on his graph.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
They can they're working hard for it. There's no question. Yeah,
absolutely.
There.
Did Tyler Williams give you a Subway when you were talking to him or no?
I mean, no. Didn't give me a Subway, but he gave me a Tiny Crash once.
He gave you a Tiny Crash?
Yeah. I'm like, really? I thought he was going to ask me a Tiny Crash, but he actually gave me a Tiny Crash. I'm like,
oh, my God. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah,
I got a jig here I made for Tyler Williams.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a 1 ounce rubber.
Oh yeah, he always uses 3/4 heavier.
I know it's got. That's why it's got to be heavier for like reaction.
And I said, "Would you use?" I told him, "How do you even not hung it up every cast?" He said, "He's good at it, you know, snagging." I'm like, "No, still, you know." But you know, I kind of know I'm doing a little bit too much, too many things to fishing tournament. But he's standing on one thing, pretty much one thing. I think that's the best way to win.
He said at the St. Lawrence River, he tried force feeding him that 3/4 ounce jig there too and got 120th. Like, it was the only place they wouldn't need it. It was my worst tournament.
right. But, you know, he can be twice in a year, but he can also have same amount of chance to win.
Yeah.
With how good he is, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that total money-wise. Money wise, trust me, he went more than I did last year. So,
yeah, it's better to get like
win once
or get 3 or 4 top tens than it is to just get a 40th.
Just break even. Yeah. That's what I think. And I want to win more than do good on the point. So, but you know, my mind is kind of always kind of scared too much to do something I'm good at it because. Know too much about it.
So what is your go-to, Kent? If you're busting down a new lake, what are you throwing out there? What's your favorite?
That's a little hardest question. I mean, I'm used to be just a shallow fisherman like everybody else. You know, I'm 42 years old and grew up with like what you guys do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I grew up in the hydrilla, like over in Japan. That's how I learned it all about fishing. So I like to stay in the grass or either flipping or frogging. But that was just a starting point. But I'm always trying to find something. People don't do it because, you know, you're competing with some good shallow guy. And there's like probably 50% of the field in any tournament is all good shallow fishermen. So,
yeah. I mean, if you can hold out another 5 years, they'll probably be all scopers. If you're the last shallow guy in, you'll be cleaning their clocks.
I think if you're about 5 years, it's going to be a 50-50 or maybe something new things coming up. Because right now, you know, scoping things dominated. But like I said earlier, over in Japan, it's already not that great anymore. So you almost have to fish in either extremely finesse or doing completely different. Like, that's why I always want to stay in shallower back in home, like Biwa, because everybody else is out there and look for it.
Yeah, and I'm not a very good swimmer, so if I fall out of the boat, I like to be able to touch bottom most times.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just hard to say, but I feel like we are missing something big way to catching fish, you know. That's always I'm trying to think, you know, if local guy says, you know, Carolina is big go-to bait here in this lake, of course I'm going to have one rigged up, but I'm also just trying to find something, you know, they're missing.
Yeah. Are you, do you like throwing the glide baits around or?
I do too, but that's only time I have to because the bigger bait is more, the bigger bait has more chance to losing the fish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a fun to fishing with it, but not really. I mean, if I can just get a bite, it was just a regular size, regular profile, that's where I wanted to go.
What
he's
what,
running out of questions.
Well, Brucey, you're the co-host. I asked lots already.
Are we already leak holding?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even know that. I thought we were just talking.
No. It's the same thing. It's not very formal, but I told Brad that usually I do all the talking, like I'm the motor mouth, and I told him that he's got to ask all the questions tonight, and it sounds like we just timed out on his questions, so
we'll just keep
bullshitting.
All right. Yeah, that's.
I want to hear when you first came over here. How many years have you been here?
It's been first year I came over was like I thought it was 2002, so it's been 21 years ago.
Wow.
And I literally came back over here. You know, I didn't have the money at all back in 2002, so I went back to Japan and worked for a transport company and trying to make enough money to come back. And I finally get back in 2005, started fishing as coin side.
So when you came 2002, there, that was probably right on the crest of like GPS and boats.
Yeah, pretty much. And FOW was big back then.
What was that?
FOW tour was kind of,
FOW, had a good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no GPS. You come over. It must have been wild just landing and getting to these places. Did you have someone that like helped you out and kind of steered you in the right direction?
The only word I knew back then was just, could you take me out? That's it. So I was waiting at the boat ramp down in Florida and asked me a few guys. And of course, not too many people want to take me out, but one guy stopped me and said, fine, that's a guy I'm still dealing with.
How did you find your way around without, that's right before phone GPS and you didn't know the language. That had to be a crazy travel.
Yeah, yeah, it was. But, you know, just back then we all had like buying a little book at the Walmart, you know, map book and, you know, I didn't even know how I did it, but well, somehow I made it to the phone ramp.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, what did then we didn't have an iPhone either. So that's, you know, since iPhones come up, I can do anything now. But back then, each text cost me $1 each time.
Whoa.
So if I talk to my girlfriend back in the home, you know, I told her, hey, just be easy with it. It's not good kind of money.
You're in a nice truck camper now.
Oh yeah.
Would you sleep in before?
I mean, back then I started with just sleeping in the car, but since I got my friend with it, we traveled was for like 3 years when I was calling your side. And I ran out of money again, went back to home and walked for started guiding at the Lake Beaver. That's the kind of time I started designing bait and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, works out good. That's how I came back over in probably like 2010.
Yeah. That's
so always trying to start it off, but it took me a while. So literally 20 years old was about the time I could have get a start.
Man, that's an extra hurdle. We got a guy that stayed with us last year from Australia. Uh-huh. And like, you know, they don't, nobody knows anyone. It's so expensive in the US now. Like you got to save up forever to come just try it for a bit.
Right. Right.
And he actually won an open as a, on the co side at Wheeler.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Old Tommy. And,
yeah. So I talked to him here and there, and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, he's just go back and grind your ass off and try to do anything you can to scrape it yep. together enough to come back and try it mm-hmm. again. And it's like, yep. it's such a hurdle. Like, I'm from Canada, so I just got to drive over a border and drive further than everyone.
Right. Like, it's a little different between the Canada and America. You guys are almost like brother and sister.
Yeah, it's way easier. It's a little extra pain in the ass, but it's nothing like, you know, coming from Japan or Australia. Like, that's wild. At least Australians kind of speak the same language, so it might be a little bit easier.
But what it is, even the American guys, it's pretty hard to do it because you got to quit your job. You get on the road like what we do. And it's a hell of a gamble for everybody. You know that.
Yes. I concur. Yeah.
You better be doing more than just calling people scopers and.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm 42 years old. I ain't got a time to complain about it.
No.
That's what I mean. You know, it may walk out sometime or another on the smaller circuit or something, but we're right in the middle of a, you know, scoping century right now.
Yeah.
And you're thriving. I don't even know how long I got left. I just got along and whatever coming up.
Yeah. You should, for every time you, not that you're probably ever going to get the boot from the elites, but. You'd think there would be like a clause for every time you requalify, like you get a point or something. Cause they give has that been talked about at all? Cause if you win a classic or an angler of the year, you get a point, a legends exemption point that counts against.
Yeah.
Has there been any talk of giving you one of those for requalifying or is that just.
No, I don't have nothing like that. That's what I was asking about the requalification from the open because I skipped it twice. But they don't do it, so I'm like, okay, I just gotta stay steady in this elite series.
Yeah, they're probably just like, if you're good enough to do it twice, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's
probably safe.
I would say it's kind of getting harder and harder every year. But that's the way the professional sports is supposed to be.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to see the same guy catching the same fish on the same way, same spot every year. That's not the bass fishing. I love it. So whatever coming up, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, like some people say that it's going to hurt the fish population and whatever. Hey, trust me, we hurt the shallow population in the past.
Yeah.
You know that. You're over 40 years old. You know that we screwed the shallow up. That's what ended up happening.
Yeah, you screwed it up so bad that they go and spawn 15 feet now.
100 years. And now we've been missing all the offshore school for even a year. Of course, they got a majority of the fish moved out. That's only happened. So now we got more offshore fish, but it's going to pound it pretty quick. And now, starting over.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of been like what you said about, you know, all the offshore fish, like the banks starting to play more. And that's what people have been saying about the live scope for the last couple of years. And they're like, well, it's not happening yet, but it's obviously eventually going that way. It's just taking a little bit longer.
I keep saying it's already happening in Japan.
Yeah.
It's already happened. It didn't take long. So I'm still kind of surprised every time I've seen it. They're biting that good with a scoping.
That is good news. I like to hear that because everything that happens in Japan comes here and happens. So that's good news.
Yeah. So we kind of got to expect that what's coming up next. Like we had a big time with a Sakamata back in probably 2010 or 2015, somewhere around that range. I mean, we caught them in a Sakamata shad, just a jig head or a Karen rig. And back then, we caught almost every single fish we had in the Lake Biwa. And after that, this, you know, photo facing sonars come out. We started using, but it was too late. It's almost, you know, impossible to get them bite on the Sakamata. So that's time copper scab to show off.
Oh, the poop.
Yep. That lasts 5 years. Longer than second out of the other. So I'm kind of think that could be a way. And a lot of people talking about vice thing, but it only lasts, for I know, is only a couple weeks.
Wow.
Oh, thank God I didn't buy any of those suckers yet.
Yeah, but you know that's not the same. I'm pretty sure. So, you know, there's more scoping guys here in America now than it was. So it could be a different way, but I think you guys got a better cover in the shallow too. So I think it's gonna be pretty interesting here about a couple of years. So
yeah, the U.S. was late to the scoping party, I think. Because, like, the Australians already had it dialed in, like, perspective. I probably had one of the few perspective scopes on my boat last year, and everyone has it now. But, like, you know, it seems like it's still a step behind on the electronics front. Like, the Aussies had that thing dialed in. You saw Chris and Corey Johnston dummy everyone with the forward, like, before, you know, kind of on the inside of it.
What's the cool thing about all the Japanese I mean, if you're a scoping guy, you know, everybody have different setup. And even the same brand and same screen, everybody have different perspective. So that's a kind of thing we have to, you know, professional fishermen is responsible to talk about it, because, you know, some people say, you know, we have to throw just a jig head in the Mickey rig. But to me, that, you know, forward facing sonar is not just that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of refinements.
Oh yeah, like I'm fishing old school with a forward facing sonar, even a square bill. But I'm talking to the guy in the fishing industry. He said they are not selling the crankbait. I'm like, what? I mean, the last year I caught 20 pound on just a cranking scoping. Why would you think you just, you know, you got to stay with a jig head the whole time?
Yeah. Well, it's that jig head minnow, like that's already kind of played out around here. And
you're it just does. Being,
like, but down south, it's still on the rise. We're here. It's we're on the back end.
It does work in the wintertime and the early spring, but in the shad spawn time, and you got to do something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think... I don't know why some people complain so much about a scoping. They didn't have to worry that much, I don't think. Even the last year in the Elite Series, we had several scoping events and also several shad spawn, pretty much 50-50. And we had a Koya too. So it's not...
The robot.
It's not really... I mean, people wanting too much about it.
Is there anyone like Koya? Like, are you still in touch with... Do you go back home? Or do you just live in the U.S. now?
I'm only back in the home in the wintertime. Just a couple months a year.
So is there any... Like, are there any other up-and-comers behind the Prince that are... Like, are there anyone just as scary? Or is he kind of like an anomaly of the young these guys?
I mean, there's another guy who came over this year. You know, I don't know how long. I mean, most surprising thing about Koya is, to me, he learned it so quick. I mean, it took me 10 years to learn about American fishing to me, but he already catches anywhere he goes. So I'm kind of surprised about that. I mean, where the fish is completely different. We don't have a shad or we don't have nothing like that. But he still catches, so that's the number one amazing thing to me. He learned it quick.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing just one thing. He has more trick than what we are thinking.
He's pretty secretive too about it.
Oh yeah, he is. So
he was pretty proud of his spinner bait at Grand Lake, though. He was showing everyone that on live.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he doesn't hide that.
Yeah, I think he has more. You know. The tackle-wise secret than people saying. So he gets a second matter because, you know, he already making enough money on that, and he's got probably 10 more behind.
Yeah. Every decision's calculated with him.
Yeah, yeah. He's just natural, not just good at sculpting. And yeah, you're on the competition, you know that. It's not that easy.
Yeah. I would figure you'd take his scopes away and he'd still be pretty deadly.
I'm pretty sure, because what it is, he learned about the bass fishing was that for the fishing sonar thing, you already know how the fish move back and forth or how they reacted.
Yeah.
So you don't have to read a book to learn about how fish move around. You can just go out and, you know, see what they locate at and stuff like that. And also the difference between our age guys and the younger guys is they can research you real quick too. They can get online and find on the Instagram or YouTube video.
Yeah, that's Bruce's secret to life. He's the best pre-scoper I've ever seen. I can't even get a computer to work. Most time my phone don't work.
I'm same way, trust me.
Yeah, that's why we get along so good. We can't figure out anything.
So we gotta be good at it. At least the iPhone, just how to just punch it in the keyword.
Yeah.
And that's how they grew up in the school, how they find the, you know, stuff they want to know.
Yeah. I've taken courses on research, like on open source. Internet research, so that helps me a little bit. But that's
it definitely does. So that, I mean, people complain about scoping, but are they going to take the iPhone away from it?
Yeah, take YouTube away. Take YouTube before scoping, you learn way more.
Yeah, that's a lot of way more on YouTube, and that's what I'm kind of do. You know, anyway, I'm going and kind of giving an idea, but it don't show anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just
if you took YouTube away, you wouldn't have so many painful YouTube channels out there either. Because everyone's got to have one now, right?
Right, that right. Like, and it shows even a spot.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's the best way to learn about fishing now.
Seems that way.
Yeah. I always watch Get the Net. That's how I learn a lot.
What is it?
Get the Net. It's Bruce's YouTube.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to start watching that.
Yeah, you need.
Yeah, you better.
Tyler Williams was on there, your buddy, and Gussie was just there. He was making fun of crybabies that wouldn't. He said all the guys that were crying about LiveScope, none of them showed up at Lanier.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's like a guy. I mean, I don't think Johnston's complaining about it.
No,
I don't think Drew Cook is complaining about it either.
That's what I mean. None of the, you know, the guy, the quote unquote old school guys that are saying LiveScope's ruining the sport, nutted up and fished it. They just didn't fish it.
What do people miss about the John Cox? I mean, he's still tense on the points. AOI.
Yeah. He doesn't even have a depth finder, I don't think.
I don't think so either. So I had a sweet LiveScope open and still he kicked my ass.
He's got that old Fortrex. I've got a Fortrex on like an old tin boat that's, you know, and when you go from a power drive trolling motor to a Fortrex, it feels like the pedal's going to explode. You got to push so hard to turn it.
Right.
Because we're so used to the easy steering ones now when you jump on, it's crazy. His calves are probably like pumpkins from turning that damn thing. But yeah, all right, man. Well, you got two big derbies in Florida coming up. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm just trying to survive that one because, you know, I'm always getting my ass whipped down in Florida. So just trying to survive the top 50.
You never know. You've never been there post spawn. And
that's a good part of it. Like, it hits it like early January. I don't know that about it, but in the post spawn, it's kind of fair.
And you were just there at the Harris Chain in October for the Open, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm happy about it.
Got to feel her out a little. I think you'd be okay. And if you're not, you just go beat everyone's ass at Logan Martin.
it's going to be a really good one. I'm excited about Logan Martin. So I always like to fish in the Coosa River, so.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch, fun to follow. Thanks. Thanks for jumping on, man. It was fun.
Yeah, good
to
get too.
A different perspective. And we'll let you get back to your Love's parking lot and your Elite Series all right. schedule.
All right.
Okay, man. Take care.
Right, thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
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 Brad.
Brucey.
You did pretty good.
Oh, thanks. You know what I was thinking? You know, like, how there's so much negativity in fishing right now and how awesome it is. There's three of us on a podcast tonight from three different countries getting to know each other that would never met each other without fishing. That's pretty cool and a positive for fishing.
Yeah. The best thing, like he said, he's 42. To not like, you need to have that attitude that he has. To absolutely. Make it the, you know, we're all crying and bitching about stuff is going to do is set you back. You know, we talk about it for fun and whatever. It's fun to bitch once in a while and it makes interesting content, but you know, at the end of the day, it's just slowing you down. Like he's got a, you know, he came over here when he was 21, like was disadvantaged in every single way and still found a way to grind his ass up, and now he's the boss.
He is the boss. I mean, that guy is a legend already, and I can't get over how happy he is, like his attitude. And I think that's part of not complaining is having a good attitude, you know, like it goes hand in hand, you know.
Yeah. All right, Bard. Your Bard. Roommate Drunkwood just texted me a picture of you.
Oh boy.
He texted me a picture of you podcasting.
Oh, I'm a podcaster. Yeah.
He sent, I'll show you.
Oh yeah, that's me.
What's on his cup? There's like a, there's a drawing on his cup. Some profanity.
Oh, yeah. I don't know this Drunkwood very well, but I bet you I'll know him better after a couple days.
He's a good dude. You guys are going to have fun. All right. Well, we'll catch up with you after Logan Martin. Thanks, Bass Galaxy. Do all the like and the subscribe and that kind of thing. And I think Pat's got a show coming up with Hamner right away. The last one had to cancel, but keep an eye out for it.
Perfect. Well, everyone have a good night, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.